Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, I greet you on this December 25 and wish you a Merry Christmas, at least to those of you who celebrate Christmas, which most people in the Western world do, though there are some who do not, and I want to be sensitive to those as well. And there is a minority, but a strong historical connection of God's people, down through the centuries actually, who have chosen not to celebrate Christmas because it is not given to us in the Word of God to celebrate a day upon which to have a day in which we celebrate the incarnation of Jesus Christ. There is in the Bible no instruction to celebrate his birthday. There is no date given to us for his birthday. And so many of God's people down through the centuries have conscientiously avoided a celebration of Christmas, the birthday of Jesus Christ. And it is not my purpose today to talk about the pros and cons of that, just to state that many of you, most of you, are celebrating this day as a day of thanksgiving to God and worship to God and a day of rest from your labors and a day of gladness and giving and remembering the great gift which God gave to us in his Son. And others of you are going about your normal routine, though it's rather difficult to go about a normal schedule because nearly everything is shut down on Christmas Day. It used to be that everything was shut down, almost. I remember traveling on Christmas Day with my family about 20 years ago now, I suppose. And we had trouble finding a place to buy gasoline and finding a place to eat a bite of food on the road. We finally found one. But that was difficult. It's less difficult now, I've noticed. There are more gas stations and restaurants that are staying open on Christmas Day. But be that as it may, often on December 25, I would interrupt my normal teaching series in order to concentrate upon the incarnation of Jesus Christ, but I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to continue right on where we left off yesterday with four exhortations for fruitful Christians from Romans 16, 25, and 26. And the text says, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith." And from these verses, I draw four exhortations to help God's people be more healthy and fruitful in our Christian lives. And two of them we've covered, and they are: number one, do not depreciate gospel precision in a day that downplays that. And number two, do not neglect devotional communion with Christ in a day when that is emphasized, but busyness and distractions often keep us from doing so. And then number three, we continue today, do not avoid theological examination. Don't be afraid of examining theological systems, theological frameworks, theological positions. Some people shy away from that, but don't do that. Remember that we are established by a clearer understanding of the Old Testament in the light of the New. And nearly every theological system that I know of is largely consumed with that question, how to relate the Old Testament with the New. That really, as much as anything, I think, is what distinguishes one theological system from another, within the realm of orthodoxy, of course. And so remember that we are talking about a mystery. Paul mentions that word, the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. A mystery is something hidden by design, God's design, hidden by God's design from His people for a time and revealed at the proper time. And I think here the mystery is Christ in all His fullness and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in all its fullness. Now, I heard someone state recently that the mystery that Paul talks about in his epistles is Jew and Gentile brought together in one body. Well, I think it's evident that that is the description of a mystery, but I'm not convinced that that's the only thing that Paul calls a mystery, because there doesn't seem to be any indication that this mystery is talking about the blending together of Jew and Gentile, the body of Christ. But it is instead the full revelation of Christ, the full revelation of Jesus as the Christ, the long-promised Messiah, and along with that, the development of the Church of Christ in all of its fullness. And that, of course, that aspect certainly would involve the inclusion of Gentiles alongside of Jews in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that is not the main emphasis of the context in which Paul is speaking here. But my point is that you should not avoid theological systems or examinations. You should not be scared away from them. You should not have negative thoughts about them. And you should not be afraid to examine different ones from the one that you are comfortable with, the one that you have grown up with, perhaps. There is great value in a theological system, because theological systems will help provide unity throughout the Scriptures. They will help us deal with difficult passages in the Word of God. They will help us guard against error. People who don't have a well-organized theological system will often take obscure portions of God's Word and draw completely bizarre conclusions from them. So theological systems are a great guard to keep us from doing that. Really, in a sense, what a theological system is an effort to keep all of the Bible in view as you are dealing with the separate parts. It's a way of connecting the parts to a whole, trying to make sense out of the whole and to help all of the parts fit into a logical framework, a whole system. Because it's very easy in studying the Bible to lose sight of the forest for the trees, as we sometimes say. Looking at this particular tree and examining it carefully, looking at that particular tree and examining it carefully, we sometimes fail to see how each of these trees fits into the forest as a whole. And we can look at this verse and we can look at that verse and study it with great interest, and we think sometimes with great depth, and yet draw entirely erroneous conclusions because we are failing to relate it to the whole. We are failing to make it consistent with the whole. But there are dangers in systems as well as help. And what systems do, they help us to relate all of the parts to a whole, but sometimes they encourage us to reshape the parts to fit the whole. It's like a jigsaw puzzle of 1,000 pieces. And sometimes it can be frustrating. You're putting all these pieces together and you just can't find where certain ones fit. You may need one to fit a certain spot and you just can't find the piece to fit it. You're almost tempted sometimes to force a piece into that spot that doesn't really go. I don't know if you've ever been tempted to do that, but I have at times past. I don't really do much with jigsaw puzzles, haven't for many years, but I can remember my frustration in years gone by trying to get a piece that didn't seem to have any place where it fit, to try to kind of bend it and shape it to make it fit where it didn't belong. But of course that doesn't work. And sometimes we do that with a particular piece of scripture, a particular text, in order to preserve our system, in order to preserve our unity. Sometimes we are very tempted to force a meaning into a text that really is not what the text says. So we need to be aware, as we study systems, of what the strength of having a system is, but also what the dangers of adhering too tightly to a system are, and therefore to hold systems loosely. We appreciate them, we value them for what they are able to do, but we've got to hold them loosely, not so loyal to a system, not so committed to a system, that we are doing violence to particular texts. If a particular text doesn't fit into our system easily, according to the normal meaning, then maybe we better back up and just wait a while. We don't have to finish that jigsaw puzzle today. We can wait until tomorrow and come back and see if we can make better sense of it. We can wait until next week. We can wait until next month. We can wait until next year. The Bible is a jigsaw puzzle, not of 1,000 pieces, but of tens of thousands of pieces. And we're never going to get all of them into perfect connection during our lifetime. Some things are going to have to wait eternity. We won't know until we get to heaven, and hopefully we'll find out then. We'll have to wait and see what the Lord has in store for us in heaven and at what pace He's going to reveal truth to us. And I don't know if we'll ever figure everything out even in heaven, but we'll certainly know a great deal more than we know now. In fact, I suspect we will know tons more than we know now. I will suspect that our understanding when we reach heaven is going to take such a giant leap forward that we're going to feel like we have been in kindergarten all of our lives and we have suddenly been catapulted into college. But that still doesn't mean that we're going to understand everything. I've been through college and graduate school, and that didn't teach me everything, but it sure taught me a whole lot more than I knew when I was in 6th grade, 9th grade, 12th grade, you see. And all I'm saying to you is that there's a great value in understanding different theological systems, and there's also value in being able to question theological systems and to understand them better by questioning them. Because that will better establish us. That will make us more fruitful. And so all I'm saying to you is you don't have to attend Bible college or seminary and to formally study theological systems in order to benefit from the study of them. Try to understand the basics of the various systems. Learn to examine and question systems, including yours. And all the while, maintain the highest possible loyalty to God's Word. And as you do that, you will become better established in the Christian faith, better grounded in the Word of God, and more fruitful in your Christian service. May God help us to do it. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.